Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. Apologies if you constantly hear my squeaky chair. I've noticed over the last week in particular how squeaky this chair is.
Gonna have to invest in a new one.
No, it's... I need some WD-40.
Or that, yeah.
I don't know if you can hear it. Strange, now I want it to squeak, it won't. You just can't win sometimes, can you? Unlike Charles Leclerc at Monaco, who finally, what a segue, by the way, got his win. After
it's exactly the same squeaky chair Charles Leclerc winning in Monaco, isn't it?
No, but you know, I was saying you can't win. Unlike
like it,
Charles, yeah. Who finally did, which I think we were all... I don't think there was a single racing fan who was actually disappointed this weekend.
I was delighted.
Yeah. You know, and the way it's looking, Charles Leclerc is in a world championship battle here. Well, I know we'll probably dive into that in a bit, but as an intro to the show, you've heard it here. Charles Leclerc is on for a championship this year alongside definitely Max Verstappen. We need to see a little bit more from the McLaren over the coming races in different tracks. But obviously, if you're new here, make sure you give us a 5-star rating. There's the squeak. On Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you're listening to us. I don't believe Google is shutting down their podcast platform.
Are they?
Yeah, that clearly didn't take off. But wherever else you're listening to us on, get involved. You can also follow us on all social media. Just search Racecast Insta, Racecast Tweets, and Racecast Clips, which is TikTok. I think the previous two are pretty self-explanatory as to what platform you'll be using. But there is lots to talk about. Albeit a boring race, there is plenty to talk about. So don't worry, we're not going to dwell too much on Monaco, but we are going to bring you some very important information throughout this whole podcast. Over to Matt.
So it's actually quite nice starting a podcast with you a bit more positive, because obviously take our minds back to 3 podcasts ago. You had enough, you were fed up, you were bored. A few races later, you're a bit more positive. We've had 2 other race winners.
Yeah, and it's not even necessarily that we've had 2 other race winners that's made me more positive. It's the fact that the Red Bull has genuinely looked like not the strongest car.
Yeah.
At some of these tracks. And don't get me wrong, from a competition standpoint, I'm glad that it's not just like, oh, McLaren brought these upgrades and they've absolutely jumped Red Bull. Now it's just McLaren dominating. You know, they've brought these upgrades and they're level with Red Bull. And
yeah,
Ferrari brought upgrades. And now they're all sort of on a more level playing field. I don't know why the hell Mercedes have completely dropped off, but that's not something I'm going to delve into right now. I'm happy because, yeah, Charles Leclerc won this week. Lando Norris won the week before last.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had Max in between, but Lando was closing him down towards the end of the race. So we're starting to see a little bit more competition. I still have my reservations over the actual ability of these cars to be able to race with one another. But I am hoping once we get to some tracks that maybe, you know, Imola has not been great under these new regs. I remember 2022 very clearly. The race was pretty unbearable. I know we had that battle between Max and Charles at the front, but if you remember, there was many DRS trains throughout the whole race, across the whole grid. We obviously couldn't race there in 23. And 24, we had a really, really dull race until the end when, you know, Lando was coming through. And then Monaco is not a good race to judge. I'm judging purely off the fact that the Red Bull was not clearly the most dominant car. So that's why I'm excited, because there are cars in the mix now.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. I think, you know, we're heading into Canada and I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see, I think the likes of McLaren will be strong, Ferrari will be strong. But before we talk about Canada, and we'll talk about Canada next week, because that's still 2 weeks away, isn't it? let's touch on Charles Leclerc, because interestingly, you were talking about he's now in the championship hunt. So I want to, I've got a little game for you. Okay.
I like that.
So in the last three rounds, who out of the top three from one to three, who has got the most points?
Oh, it's got to be Lando.
Okay. How many points do you think he's got?
Oh, I wish I was better at math. Oh, but then no, because I was thinking it was him that finished. It was Piastri that finished second. So Lando's obviously got 25.
Yeah.
I think Oscar got the fastest lap in Miami. I don't know for a fact, but I don't think it was Lando.
Shall I break down the points?
Well, 25.
Yeah.
Plus 18, which is about 43. plus, where did he finish? Fifth. No, he
finished fourth.
He finished fourth, which gets you 12 points. So he's got that amount of points.
Yeah.
55.
Okay.
Charles, I don't know where he finished in Miami, to be honest. I think Lando's got at least 55 points over the last three races, and he's earned the most points.
Okay, so you're correct. Norris has got 55 points in the last three rounds. However, Charles Leclerc in the last three rounds has got 62 points.
Wow, really?
Max Verstappen, 59 points, and Lando Norris, 55 points.
Interesting.
Charles Leclerc is, you know, obviously, apart from Monaco, slowly going under the radar, picking up those points.
Yeah.
Is impressive. It's impressive. Obviously, Verstappen this weekend finishing P6 got you what? Like, I can't remember what P6 gets you.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that, and that's quite damaging to that points tally.
Yeah.
But it also goes to show you how quickly it can change. I mean, how far is Charles behind Max right now?
Please hold caller. I will find out for you.
Because it really can change over a few races. And I know Monaco is a tricky one, because I think if we were anywhere else, I don't believe Max Verstappen would have finished sixth. And have you heard this crazy stat or crazy fact? This Monaco race,
yep,
was the first time in F1 history, right? Since what? The 50s?
Yep.
That the top 10 finished as they started.
I saw that, yeah. Mad, isn't it?
That firstly goes to show you that Monaco is a little bit boring. But more importantly, there's something wrong with these cars. And I'll say it every goddamn episode. I don't care. There's something wrong with the cars because, okay, we know they're too big. They're too long. You know, to race around Monaco now. I was looking at the comparison pictures.
The F3 cars would have been, were actually relatively good. You had a bit of overtaking this weekend.
Yeah, and there's also, obviously, they haven't got the huge performance gap,
yeah,
that we've got here. But too big. I don't think they're capable of racing like we were promised.
But as well, I think it's hard to... I understand that stat. The difficulty with that is we were robbed of pit stops.
We were.
I'm not saying it would have changed massively, but it would, that would have played a factor.
This did negatively affect it.
It did. And that's something which, you know, we'll touch on shortly, but I really dislike the whole... I understand the red flag thing, but I think if it's under lap one or two, you know, come on, you must say that actually you can change over to a fresh pair of tyres that you want. So if you want mediums, go on to another fresh pair of mediums, whatever, but you still have to make another pit stop.
Oh, so you have to stay on the same. You can only change to a fresh compound that is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that I actually agree with. I was going to say just scrap it completely and you're not allowed to change tyres, but
yeah,
I actually think the idea of, no, you can. But then does that just open it up to everyone pitting on the last lap?
Well, it does. But perhaps the other aspect is that you just say you can change your tyres, but you still have to make a mandatory pit stop regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, Jenson Button hit now and head. He said, you know, we were, in theory, robbed of a very good race today. And said instead, in the sense of we were missing the pit stops. Monaco... Look back on Monaco. We've discussed Monaco in the past. You know, we think we should get rid of the barriers, make it a bit more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But Monaco historically is a Saturday thing. It's all about the qualifying. But the reason why the races are a bit more enjoyable is because you look at, for example, Leclerc a couple of years ago, the double stacking, or was that last year? I can't remember. The double stacking, that type of pit stop cost him. These type of pit stops make a massive difference to the outcome of the race. And I think the reason why you didn't see a change in the top 10 is because we were robbed of actually having those pit stops.
Yeah, and you saw probably the only real bit of excitement in that race was when, I'm going to say, Lewis attempted to undercut Max.
Yeah.
Because Mercedes clearly had other ideas by telling him to not push.
Well, slow down, Lewis. You know, just look after your tyres.
Yeah, no, ruin your race. I think that really was the most exciting part of, other than the massive crash on lap one. So, yeah, you know, it completely robbed us of the strategy game. The fact these tyres were able to go whole race is just that.
And on mediums.
Yeah, it's just...
Did you see the post Mercedes did? Oh, you know, George Russell did a whole race on mediums. That's not something to be proud of. That's literally like, what's the point?
So, Ted Kravitz. So did everyone else.
Can I just say, I love Ted Kravitz. I think he's class.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you, did you watch it?
His notebook.
No, did you watch the actual race?
Most of it. I was also flicking between the Leeds game.
Ah, I see. Well, there's one point because obviously they made a joke because, Ted, you're not going to actually do anything. We've got the best pit stop reporter and you're not actually going to do anything today, you know, joking. And he made a point, which I really liked, is actually, I appreciate that we're trying to conserve tyres. People aren't pushing. You look at Leclerc, he didn't push because he was conserving tyres. It's motor racing. We want to see cars go full whack. And if they can't do it, then they make the pit stops. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Get the gap as much as possible. Make the pit stops. You want to see fast racing. Not, we're going to slow it down 50%. We're going to go quite slow. Then actually we'll pick it up. When I understand it's a strategy game and I understand all of that and it's great. But as an F1 fan, I want to see them full throttle, go as fast as you can. The bigger gap you get, brilliant. Can you fit in a pit stop? No, okay, maybe you need to...
I'd be interested to see how much time could you actually make by just pushing constantly.
Oh, I can imagine quite a bit.
You know, could you build a pit stop?
All you heard was, Charles Leclerc is doing a 120. Okay, actually, now he's pushing a bit. He's doing he's in the 117s. Okay, so he has the pace there. He can go that way. Why are we literally just... It was just a parade, basically. Keep your position. You're not going to overtake. Look at Max. He got up right behind George. Couldn't overtake.
That's the thing.
You know,
It was a shocker.
Yeah, and Pirelli have made these tyres seem to, they can, you know, Jeremy Clarkson on Twitter made a point. He said, I've got tyres, I go 40,000 miles. You know, it's like Pirelli are now making these tyres that can go ridiculous. I'm not saying 40,000 miles, but they can go a ridiculous amount of time. And when do we see earlier on in the year? Oh, they're going to go on the mediums early. Oh, that's a bit, they do like 40 laps. Yep. Was that Miami? I can't remember where it was. It was just kind of got to a point where you're
so boring.
What's the point? You've taken away refueling. That was one of the exciting bits.
Might as well not even have pit stops anymore.
But no.
They genuinely might as well not have them.
All start on hards and then just go round.
Yeah.
Because we're going this way and that's the only... And we've discussed many times, Formula One is exciting. You've taken away the refueling thing from a health and safety point of view. That was exciting. But what was... Over the years...
Yeah, but I don't like this health and safety bollocks.
Okay, well...
I really don't.
No. I like the fact... I like the refueling.
Could you imagine, like, imagine if rock climbing was like, I know it is a professional sport, but I mean, like, imagine if F1 was rock climbing and they took away the heights.
Yeah.
No, you're only allowed to traverse 2 feet off the ground, health and safety. Boring. Do you know what I mean? It's an extreme sport. We're already not allowed to race in the wet, or they're not allowed to pour some petrol in the cars. What do you fucking do? What? Just... Fucking do it.
We got a grilling last time we said this.
Oh, I don't care. Do you know what? I really don't. Okay, every now and then someone's going to set on fire. Yeah. It's part of the game. Do you know what I mean?
We don't want that. But
hey, I didn't say I wanted it.
No.
You know, the same way when I'm watching boxing. You watch boxing, right? The aim of the sport is to hit someone so physically hard that their brain just shuts off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. But pouring petrol in a car, nah. Driving around a wet track, I understand the consequences are equally as high, right? It's, in my opinion, it's not a fact, it's no more dangerous driving around a track fast that's wet than it is being repeatedly punched in the head by the world's biggest human.
But then what's the point of wet tyres? What's the point
of... No.
That's what I mean.
And that's my point. Like,
yeah.
They've got... And you know, F1 is at a point in terms of the cars and, you know, all the technology around them. It's at the safest that it's ever been. Yeah. I think we can introduce some of the external danger elements and drivers are not going to be like, whoa, that's taking the piss.
I can understand if they were going, right, you know, it's pouring out there. I want you to go out on softs.
Yeah.
But you actually have wet tyres for wet races.
And there is points where it is too wet.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying they should race in every single, you know.
Like Spa 21.
Yeah, that, you know, that was just a joke.
Yeah.
But I think we've had enough, you know, like, was it Monaco last year?
Yeah, they just completely stopped until it stopped raining. Like, oh, they red flagged it after, like, they did one lap. And
it's
then...
dangerous. Yeah, yeah, it is dangerous. It's dangerous getting behind a car when it's not wet. It's dangerous when it's wet as well.
Yeah, no.
Granted, a little bit more dangerous, but it is just, it's part and parcel of the sport. So I don't care what people say. They can cry about it all they like. Send us an email. I'm not going to fucking read it. But this is just my opinion on the sport.
Right, going back to what you asked earlier, Max Verstappen is on 169 points.
Yep.
Leclerc is on 138.
That's incredibly close.
It is very close. It is very close.
All that takes, right, is... And this is going to sound outrageous because it's so unlikely, but all that takes is a couple of races for Charles Leclerc to win and Max to finish third and fourth.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, that gap is a lot smaller than it was before. You also throw Lando in there. He's got to be creeping up there.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
well, Lando's P3 with 113.
Where the hell is Checo?
Checo is P5 with 107.
He should be ashamed of that. He should be ashamed of his performance this weekend.
Yep.
P18. I love how he comes out and in the media pen and he says we
struggled. Yeah, like we struggled this weekend. No. You did. Fucking struggled.
You struggled. Max struggled a bit. Do you know what I mean? But his struggle landed him, what, P6?
Yep.
And that,
not
that,
P18.
That really shows the gulf of class. So we struggled this weekend. You're telling me that a Williams is quicker than you.
That's basically it.
But Lance Stroll is quicker than you. But, like, I can go... The racing balls are quicker than you.
Yep.
Do you know what? But
we as a team struggled this weekend.
Yeah, he should struggle sleeping at night.
Exactly. I want to play a game with you later on.
Yeah.
All right. And I want to test your knowledge. But let's talk a bit about F1 news, shall we? And then we'll touch on Monaco.
Yeah.
And then we'll play the game. So stay tuned for that because I want you guys to play in at home as well. Right. So Esteban Ocon. And we will talk about Monaco because this kind of links into what we're talking about. Had a bit of a shocker, shall we say, this weekend. I mean, he's always been very hot-headed, and I think he lets himself down quite a bit.
I mean, like this, I remember the incident in Brazil where he's unlapping himself and just took Max out.
Yeah,
like I think that kind of epitomizes his driving a little bit.
Exactly, and I think. So for you guys who don't know what happened, first lap, Ocon was behind Gasly before the tunnel, decided to cut in front of him. Well, not cut in front of him, overtake him, but there was the gap was kind of there.
In Ocon's defense, the gap was there. However, firstly, you do not do that on your teammate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're running behind each other. I'm sure if the team felt that Ocon could go through, they would have swapped positions.
Yeah.
That was completely unnecessary. It ruined his race.
He was airborne.
Yeah, he was. And he could have completely ruined Gasly's race. He could have caused a huge amount of damage to both cars. Luckily for the team, none of that happened. But that was a dumbass move.
But it was only Ocon who retired.
Yeah, but I'm sure they had to. They probably had to do something to Gasly's car, but luckily it got red flagged.
Yeah, well, during the red flag, obviously Alpine boss Bruno Famin, he came out and he did not hold back. He, let's just say, lost his shit. He was furious.
Yeah.
Basically, he was said afterwards, there will be consequences. And reports have come out recently, obviously with it, Ocon was awarded a 5-place grid penalty, which he will take in Canada.
Yeah.
But the question is, will he? Because immediately after, Famin was seen talking to reserve driver Dohan?
Jack Doohan.
Doohan. I'm so rubbish with names. Which then speculated reports...
that Ocon is going to be dropped.
He's going to be dropped.
I haven't fully read into this. Is he just going to be dropped for Canada?
Well, I think it's just for Canada. And obviously, as we know, his contract expires at the end of this year.
Yeah. It's not a great look, is it?
It's not a great look. And you're not helping yourself here because, you know, you've got Pierre Gasly and these two have history. It's always going to be a very rocky driver lineup because you've got two drivers who don't like each other. Very competitive, which is always great. It's what you want.
But what I will say is go back to just their previous teammates. Yuki Tsunoda and Pierre Gasly loved each other.
Yeah.
They got on so well.
Yeah.
Now, Fernando Alonso hasn't got the best reputation as a teammate either. But him and Ocon did not get on well.
No.
You know, Alonso made that pretty clear. I think in the last race at Alpine, did he say something like, it might have been in Japan, actually, or something like, thank God, like, I don't have to put up with this.
Do you remember Brazil? Because it was down a straight, because I remember they were like pretty much like bouncing off each other.
Yeah, I knew it was towards the end of the season where he was like, thank God I've only got like one more race of this or something.
So I generally think Ocon is the problem.
Yep, I would
Because initially we were very much like, oh, well, it's Alonso as well. It's probably, but I'm starting to think it's more Ocon. Again, he's got quite a bit of an ego for someone who, granted, he's won a race, but...
Yeah, again, he won the race circumstantially, but you can't take that away from him.
No. Ocon, to be fair to him, came out pretty soon after saying, look, that was my fault. I take responsibility for it. But this is seriously, you know, this Alpine team is highly under the spotlight anyway. Mm-hmm. It is a team that actually is not performing great. And these type of actions have massive consequences for a team like this, especially with sponsors. And when you've got a team that is under this so much speculation, it is very difficult. And you need your drivers to be in. They need to be united. They need to be actually working together, but they're really not.
Because that's the thing. You know, it was difficult enough back in the sort of Rosberg Hamilton days, right? But they were justified in fighting each other.
And they were winning.
Because they were going for the Drivers' Championship. The Constructors' Championship was pretty much sealed regardless, right? Yeah. Every season. Whereas if you've got two Alpines fighting towards the back of the pack, struggling with an underdeveloped car that's overweight, this is just the last thing they need as a team. They really do need to be working with each other. Like, does Ocon really care enough to drop a move like that around Monaco to move up to, what would it have moved him up to, P12 or something silly like that? Well, like, it's immature.
Gasly, I thought, was really good in his post-race interview. Basically said, it's just not acceptable. He said, you know, we've got workers who are at the factory putting all this hard work in, and what they don't want to see is us colliding on lap one in a race. And he said, you know, we're all passionate, we all want to drive, we all want to do well. But he said that was just ridiculous and it was unnecessary. And it was unnecessary. And it's just not a good look for Ocon because, in my opinion, if you're at Alpine, you will not be considering him for a seat next year because you will always go by Pierre Gasly.
Well, I think he's not really proven anything there. Okay, he got his race win in 21. Mm. Look, I mean, he had Sebastian Vettel, granted, great driver, in a crummy Aston Martin behind him. with Lewis Hamilton breathing down their necks. And if it wasn't for Alonso putting Fernando Alonso in that Alpine,
yeah,
if it wasn't for him, Lewis would have won that race easily. Yeah. And I don't think there was many drivers on the track that could have pulled out what Alonso did.
No, I agree. You know,
if it was, the roles were reversed, we can go back to tell Esteban to defend like a lion. Yeah, we've seen he's not capable of doing that. So if Fernando Alonso was out in P1 in that race at Budapest, and Ocon was Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton would have won that race.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't think it was difficult holding... That Alpine was factually a better car than the Aston Martin at that point.
Yeah.
So it's not hugely impressive, is it? It's great. No one can take that win away from him. But he didn't win it on merit, is my point.
No, and I get that.
Half the grid had been taken out, by the way. Max Verstappen was running with half a car because Bottas had smashed him out. Bottas wasn't there. You know, another Mercedes. Yeah. I can't even remember who else Bottas took out. Because
Perez.
Perez was Lando... Lando damage as well.
Yeah, he was.
Do you see what I mean?
It was great, wasn't it?
No, it was.
I loved it. Touching on Alpine, obviously Andretti, I don't know if you've seen this, reports are suggesting that actually the only way they're going to get onto the grid is by buying another team. That is what's came out of the weekend. You know, Andretti are still trying to get into the grid. Certain team principals are still very reluctant on this, obviously.
It seems like F1 bosses are reluctant to get them in as well.
I
don't know why.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me. But so Ted Kravitz was talking about this. I know I said him again, but he was actually on good form this weekend. And actually, if Andretti can only get into the sport by buying another team, Alpine could be a team that they potentially could sell. Because
is that something that's been... Is this your thoughts or is this something read?
No, it's something I read and it's something which was discussed in the notebook, Ten Kravitz's notebook. He said Alpine could be one of those teams who may consider to sell if, you know, they don't make much progress going forward.
It would make sense.
But it just got me thinking because I was like, who else on that grid, if Andretti were to come into the sport, the only team that really makes sense is Alpine. Or you've got Haas, which is an American team anyway, that they could merge. But
yeah, I was going to say Haas is the only other team that makes sense. You know, Williams, not going to happen.
No.
McLaren, Ferrari.
Aston Martin.
Although there was rumours that Lawrence Stroll, wanted to sell.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Alpine and Haas are the only two possible things. Obviously, you probably could have said Sauber before.
Yeah.
But
it's obviously Audi. It just got me thinking because obviously when they brought it up, I was a bit like, well, that's quite interesting because I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, you, factually speaking, that this is what is being said. But
hey, we're not here to bring knowledge.
No, I have no knowledge.
Just vibes.
Other news. Aston Martin could be getting a new team principal. Do you know who? Again, this is just reports, but...
No, what's happening to Mike Crack?
Well, Aston Martin aren't really performing well at the moment, are they? They've gone backwards.
This is true.
However, and it was seen this weekend, he was on the paddock. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, but I'm gonna throw two random names out there.
Go for it.
Mattia Binotto.
Spot on.
Was it?
Yeah, spot on. So he is apparently... in talks with Aston Martin. As I said, as we know, since probably halfway through last year, Aston Martin have gone backwards.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in a great place.
Nope.
Upgrades that they're bringing aren't working.
Everything they do to that car makes it worse.
It seems like they may as well just leave it as it is and just not touch it and they're bitter. But what's your thoughts on that? Obviously, he left Ferrari. Is that a good move for Aston Martin?
I mean, at the end of the day, he continued to develop that car well.
He's better than Mike Crack.
Most things are. But I think the biggest thing The biggest thing that made Ferrari a laughing stock was their strategies. And it's probably harsh to put that all down to Binotto anyway.
Yeah.
You
say that. Since Fred Vasseur's come in,
things have turned around.
Look at where they are now.
And this is the thing, but I think maybe he had a lot of loyalties there.
They did a 2.1 pit stop, second pit stop, not this race, the race before.
Yeah, no, look, Fred has improved that team. 100%. You can't deny that. I don't think Matteo Binotto is a bad choice. Also, don't think he's the best choice.
He's experienced.
He
knows how to manage a top team.
He does. He's worked on a championship contending car.
Yeah.
He
was in a championship battle.
Yeah.
And so multiple factors stop that, but yeah, he's. Yeah.
So you know, it's. I would understand them replacing Mike Crack at this point because. The team is not progressing, and there does come a point where. You have to start pointing fingers.
Yeah.
And that it normally starts with the man at the top.
It does.
Or women.
Yeah, no, I agree. Should we talk about Monaco?
Just briefly.
Let's go to qualifying. Actually, let's quickly touch on this because everyone was getting ahead of themselves. Mercedes were looking good. People were getting excited because Lewis Hamilton was back up there. And lo and behold, come qualifying, he's back where he's been majority of the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So qualifying was actually reasonably enjoyable. Yeah. I actually thought it was quite a good qualifying session. Obviously, the biggest shock in... Well, we say shock, but we expected it. And I even called it, didn't I, before it actually happened. Because we watched it together, didn't we? Q1, Perez goes out in Q1. Not really a surprise.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The worst part about it is it's never that shocking when it happens.
Q2, I can't remember who went out in Q2. There wasn't really any major...
I think Alonso being out-qualified by Stroll.
Yeah.
Was
Albon got into Q3, which was good.
Super impressive.
Both Hasses were out in Q2, which ultimately they end up starting back from the...
The back of the grid.
Back of the grid.
They got disqualified.
Did you hear what happened, though? So it was a... miscommunication from the team in the sense of, because obviously where the wing opens, they measured from just the middle of the diameter, but apparently what was meant to be told to the engineers is with a new rear wing upgrade, what they needed to do was measure at the sides, the middle, both sides and then the middle. But what they didn't do is they didn't measure the sides, so when it opened, it opened far greater.
So they were meant to do that before to make sure it was compliant. Yeah,
because they were meant to set it so they all worked, it was all aligned. But what actually happened was the people in the factory forgot to tell them, the engineers, that that's what they needed to do.
Useful.
Which ultimately meant that their wing was illegal. It opened too much, which gives you more performance. Mm-hmm. And ultimately that meant that they got disqualified from qualifying, which they started from the back of the grid. But that's quite a hefty... and it just got worse for Haas, but we'll touch on that shortly.
Yeah.
And then Q3. It's actually quite exciting. It's quite good. Leclerc just seems to pull it out the bag in Monaco.
He's different gravy around there.
Yeah, at one point I was thinking, okay, it's going to be Piastri. Max is quick as well. It's going to be one of those.
And Max is always someone that can just pull a golden lap out of nowhere.
You can never rule him out with these situations. But little do we know, Charles Leclerc, once again, getting pole position. Really solid lap. What was it? In the 112s? Was it 112s he got down to? 114s.
Got to the 110s, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
I thought there was a 110.4 in there somewhere.
You're probably correct, actually. But in my mind,
can they make it to the 109s?
Ah, yes, you're correct. It was a 110.2.
Oh.
So for both Ferraris, one and three, Piastri P2, Norris P4, Russell P5, Verstappen P6, Hamilton 7th, Tsunoda, another solid weekend from Tsunoda. He's going under the radar.
I can't believe Red Bull are not looking at him at this point.
No, it baffles me. He's been brilliant. Mm. He really has been brilliant. Albon P9 and Gasly P10. So I think when you look at that, Charles Leclerc was 0.2 quicker than Piastri. Piastri was quick all weekend. He looked very good. Norris couldn't quite keep up with Piastri this weekend.
Yeah, no, it was a bit off him. All weekend, really.
Obviously, Russell had a new front wing, which they brought this weekend. Hamilton didn't have that.
But Lewis was consistently quicker than him in all three practice sessions.
Yeah, he was.
Lewis's Saturday form is questionable at the moment. Race pace, in my opinion, he's in the very top bracket.
Yeah.
But there's an issue with these Saturdays.
But as we know, look back at the 21 season in Monaco. He finished end up P7 or something, wasn't he? Yeah. He had an awful qualifying. As we know, if you get a poor qualifying, you're likely to finish quite far behind.
So you think even the W12 can overtake Ron?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? So let's get into the race, because the start. And I'm a bit perplexed by this, really, because it was a good start from Leclerc. Bit of a horrid start from Sainz. Good start from Sainz. Bit of a horrid start from Piastri.
Yeah.
Which ultimately they collided, which meant that Sainz had a left puncture. Luckily, the luck was on his side that day.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it didn't matter. But this collision between Kevin Magnussen, Sergio Perez, and K-Mag. No, K-Mag, Perez, and Hulkenberg. Yeah. Sorry.
Hulk was collateral damage to this.
Yeah. I am still struggling to understand why that was never investigated after and no further action. Because I get it. And if you haven't seen it, go and watch it, because and let me know what your thoughts are. Because I understand Kevin Magnussen was on the inside.
On the outside.
On the outside.
Well, it depends how you look at the track. But coming up to the
main corner. There was no gap. He was not going to get through that. Sergio Perez was going up in a straight line. So he was going to come over. And as a driver, even I can understand, okay, there was no gap there. I'll pull back.
Yeah.
You're fighting for P18.
Yeah, so stupid. And here's the thing. I do think Perez closed that door. But if I remember correctly, he was kind of just going with the flow of the track.
Yeah.
And there really was no room for K-Mag to be up the inside or the outside. But
even if there was room, you're not going to get through that. You know how that track goes up. And during the red flag, Jenson Button and Anthony Davidson were talking about it. And he said, you were looking at it as you're just going to go, because obviously it goes...
It kind of curves a little bit.
You want to go up as straight as possible.
Yeah.
K-Mag knows this. He's an experienced driver.
Yeah, and the damage that collision caused. Sergio Perez, I was reading some people saying on Twitter, they'll repair that. In what world?
And apparently, they're only going to use the same steering wheel.
It's not fucking Harry Potter. Well, they're going to wave a wand and piece it all back together.
So how much do you think it's going to cost?
Well, so I've actually seen.
Yeah.
The 2 to 3 million.
Yeah.
They're saying it's going to cost, which essentially means if they have any more big accidents this year, development for the latter part of the season is pretty much out the window.
Well, there's also talks that even with this, it is massively affected for future upgrades.
Yeah, and which I'm not surprised, because they need a completely new car. This car needs to be rebuilt.
Yeah. For me, There's footage of Sergio looking to his right, but I think it's...
I mean, K-Mag seemed to believe it was Perez's fault. He came out afterwards and he was not very happy.
But even Hulkenberg was like, that's just unnecessary. You're saying that about your own team. Yeah. You're saying that about your own teammate.
Look, I mean, I'm. Look, it's not often I side with Perez, but I believe that was K-Mag's fault.
Oh, 100%.
Out and out.
He didn't have to be there. You're not gaining anything. What you're gonna, you're trying to overtake a Red Bull.
He could have been P18 if he got.
True. To be fair, I did think that. You know, you get those points for that.
Yeah.
But you're fighting a Red Bull. You're not going anywhere. You've overtaken your teammate. Stay in front of Hulkenberg. Okay, you've had a successful first corner. You do not need to be going into those gaps. And I remember putting in, saying to you, didn't I, afterwards, he is honestly a danger. I honestly find with some of his actions this year, I actually feel sorry for other drivers because I generally think he is so chaotic.
You know what it's like? It's like, grandparents still alive?
Only my nan.
Do you remember your granddad?
Yeah.
You know when, like, so my granddad got Alzheimer's, right? He's dead now.
I'm not.
Don't know me. Just laughing at my dead granddad.
Oh, God.
Why is that funny? That wasn't the punchline.
No, I'm not laughing because that. It's just the way you just, like, looked at me and you went, he's dead now.
He is.
Yeah, no,
like,
I know that.
He's not still driving. No. He'd definitely be dead now if he was still driving. But you know, it gets to the point where, like, I used to get in the car with him and I'd be like, I was like 15 at the time and I was like, fucking hell, I don't know if I'm going to make it home. It's a bit like that watching K Magra. It's like someone needs to tell him it's time to stop.
Yeah.
Because he's not safe. Like, he's indicating left and then going the wrong way around the roundabout. Do you know what I mean? It's that level of, like, mate, you've got to get out from behind the wheel.
Can you explain to me, how did that not get investigated?
I don't know. It's true. I mean, anywhere else and this wouldn't have happened, but if it was anywhere else, I think that does get investigated. It's so tricky at Monaco. You've got to remember the speed they're going, the cluster of cars that you find yourself in.
Did you see the footage of where the stewards were standing? The impact?
Yeah, with, like, the photographers and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Perez's car smashes. Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
But he basically, like, T-boned him into it. Magnussen basically just penetrated him into the wall.
Yeah, no, I mean...
That was nasty. How he walked away with that, I don't know.
It was a really bad crash. Well, that's because F1 cars are the safest they've ever been.
Yeah, true.
That's why we should race in the wet. Yeah. But... It made for an entertaining first lap, ruined the rest of the race. K-Mag should be put in prison. Perez shouldn't be allowed behind the wheel either. Not that it was his fault for the crash, he's just terrible. And that's pretty much the summary of Monaco.
Yeah, race done. That is pretty much it.
There's nothing else to update you on that race.
But Charles Leclerc.
Well done.
I'm very, very happy for him. I like Charles.
He normally tunes in as well, so
he does. Yeah, Charles, if you're listening,
he'll appreciate that.
Yeah. K-Mag usually listens to this as well.
He does. We're gonna get an angry message after this.
Yeah, God, he usually DMs us. Yeah, livid. What do you mean? I'm a danger to society? Not society, just the other drivers.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to the point where I think, like, his actual driving license should be revoked.
What? Or, like, just take him off the Haas team? Yeah.
Let's be real, he will be gone.
But this goes back to what I was saying to you the other week. I appreciate he's an experienced driver, but he's not acting like an experienced driver. He is acting like a driver who is in his first year of F1.
He drives like it's Mario Kart.
Throwing out bananas.
Like, he's a pure liability. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure the team has spoken to him to say, like, what's wrong with you?
It's just the audacity to come out after and go, look, you know, that's not my fault.
Yeah, to blame it on Perez. Look, yeah. Perez can be blamed
for many things.
For a lot of things.
But yeah, that was bad.
That is not one.
But no, congratulations to Charles Leclerc. Also, Piastri had a very, very good race this weekend.
Piastri did. What the hell? I'm looking at my... That's got to be some bullshit. I'm looking at fantasy.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to move on to that after this.
Oh, yeah. Quickly. I haven't looked, actually.
That is Monaco over.
Yeah.
So if you managed to last through that, we're sorry we had to put you through a recap of Monaco. But we did have to talk about the crash. But if you did know, or if you didn't know, should I say, we have an F1 Fantasy League, Racecast. The link will be somewhere on our social media. You can DM us if you can't find it anywhere. I had a horrendous week. Horrendous. Should I tell you what I got?
Yeah, what'd you get?
I did in fact get negative 10 points.
What? You're telling me you got minus 10 points this weekend?
I got minus 10 points this weekend.
That is class.
It actually brings me below you now. So,
hang on a second, really?
So let me talk you through my team and you'll understand why. I had Max Verstappen, right?
Yeah.
He was my 2X.
Yeah.
26 points because he had a stinker. I had Nico Hülkenberg, who got me a whopping minus 32 points. Sergio Perez, who got me a minus 20 points. Alex Albon, 5 points. Take that. Yeah. Here and there. Valtteri Bottas, 8 points. Ferrari, they got me 68 points. Haas got me minus 65 points. That leaves me with a grand total of negative 10 points.
I love this. I've moved up to 14th.
I think I'm...
You're 17th.
I'm going to have to make some changes here. Sergio Perez is honestly, he's getting out of my team.
So this weekend, right? Shall I tell you mine?
Yeah.
I got 131 points.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that.
Charles Leclerc got me 90 points. And I also double boosted his points. So that's great. Albon got me 5, Sonoda got me 7, Hülkenberg, to be fair, got me minus 32, and Perez got me minus 20. But I have Ferrari and Aston Martin in my team, and somehow Aston Martin got me 13 points.
Really?
Yeah. So I actually am delighted. I've moved up to 14th. My aim is to get in the top 10. And also, you'd be more be delighted that John Silla, the one who had the top 3, he's now only got the top 2.
Really?
Nathan Moore has moved up into P3.
I'm surprised.
I Hate Ocon has moved up to P9. I love the fact I'm above you.
I don't massively like that, but look, at the end of the day, I just made loads of changes and it didn't work. At the end of the day, it's a long season. I'm going to come back. I am going to remove Nico Hülkenberg, Sergio Perez. I'm going to bring in Charles Leclerc. I'm then also going to bring in... Who am I going to bring in? Wait, so is Alex Albon got... Did he get minus 4 points this week or minus 4 points overall?
Oh, he didn't get minus 4 points this week. He got more than that.
But Alex Albon, does he have minus 4 points overall? Is this all their overall points?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, how this is rubbish. How the hell has Logan Sargeant got more points than Alex Albon?
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, no.
I am getting rid of Perez. So, bye-bye Perez. And I'm going
to
bring
in... keep Nico Hülkenberg, I think.
Who do I bring in? Carlos Sainz or Piastri?
Yeah. Piastri, diversify.
Yeah, but interestingly, look at this. Perez has got 178 points so far, and Piastri's got 149. But, right, I'm going to add Piastri. Right, there you go, Piastri, you're in. And if I get rid of Aston Martin, what does that leave me? 19.5. So basically, I can get Aston Martin. Oh, brilliant. So I'm stuck with Aston Martin.
Yes.
Oh, that's annoying. Okay. So the only change I had made is the Oscar Piastri. I'm keeping Hülkenberg. Hulk, I'm keeping.
Yeah, I've kept him. I've decided to keep him. I couldn't find anyone suitable to replace him.
No, I don't think there is. Right, do you want to play a little game?
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with this. You can play at home. So I want to test your F1 knowledge.
All right, this is not going
to
end well.
So F1 drivers, I want to know if you know their actual number.
Hmm.
So for example, I'll give you an easy one. Max Verstappen, he's the number one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go through drivers and you tell me what their numbers are.
Mm.
Ready for it?
Yeah.
Play at home. Let us know how you got on. So, Charles Leclerc, what number is he?
I feel like it's something like 17 or something.
What are you going for? You should know this.
Should I?
Yeah. I know you're trying to look at the hat then, see if
yeah. it's on it. 24.
No, 16.
Oh, 16. I was close with 17.
You were. Lando Norris.
4.
Yeah, well done. Carlos Sainz.
55.
Yeah. Sergio Perez.
Ooh. What number is Perez?
It's hard, isn't it?
Come, 11.
It is 11. When I did this, I got 17 out of 20.
Okay, so I've only got one wrong so far.
Oscar Piastri.
Oh, it's about to be 2. Is he something annoying like 23?
No, 81.
Oh, yeah, it is 81. I actually knew that as well.
George Russell.
63.
Yep. Lewis Hamilton.
44.
Fernando Alonso.
14.
Good. Tsunoda.
Come back to him.
Okay, Lance Stroll.
I mean, what number is Lance Stroll? Does anyone know what number Lance Stroll is? Eleven.
How can it be 11 when Perez is 11? Yeah, they share numbers.
I don't know.
18.
I knew it was in like. I knew it wasn't higher than 20, basically.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to Tsunoda.
Eight.
22.
Yep, almost.
Ollie Behrman. No, I won't do that one.
Oh, do you know what? I actually think I know Ollie Behrman.
Yeah.
67.
38. Nico Hülkenberg.
Twenty-five.
Oh, 27.
Oh,
Danny Ric.
3.
Yep. Alex Albon.
Oh, 23.
Well done. Esteban Ocon.
Oh, no one cares about him. I feel like he's got a low number. I'm gonna go 8.
31. K Mag. The amount of crashes he's had in the last 2 years.
15?
20. Pierre Gasly.
29. It's absolutely crazy that I don't know this. Pierre Gasly.
What was Steven Gerrard?
Number 8?
No, not him, but was Mo Salah.
Why did you say Steven Gerrard? Well, 11.
Is he 11?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the person I was thinking then. How backfired. Number 10. Who's your number 10?
Where was Sadio Mane?
Oh, shows how much I know about Liverpool. Joel.
How many times have I said 37? I feel like I've said it a lot of times. But 37.
24. Valtteri Bottas, you got two more drivers.
Oh, Bottas, I know. 77.
Yeah. And Logan Sargeant.
17.
Two.
Two? How has he pulled that off then?
Let's just say you didn't do great.
I did terrible.
If you played at home, do let us know how you got on.
That's so much harder than you actually think.
I thought you were going to be better than that, to be fair.
I thought I was going to be better.
I'll test you in a few weeks' time, see if you've...
I'll do worse.
You said eight, like, there's no number eight in there, but you said about 14
now
times.
You've got me worried and, like, what number Mo Salah is. But I'm sure he's number 11.
No, he probably is number 11, to be fair. I just can't remember. Do you not have a number 10, then?
Yeah, it's McAllister now.
Yes, there we go. Do let us know, how'd you get on? Obviously, next week, we will talk about Canada. We won't talk about it now, but hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. Anything else we need to talk about? Only this weather needs to go.
Weather is back to being shit again.
Non-F1 related topic. Me and Luke went for a run the other day.
Yep.
Let's just say we didn't go together. We started off together. You blasted off.
Well, I wouldn't say I blasted off. I mean, you weren't like ages behind.
No. But I've been doing some 5Ks now.
Yep.
Getting there.
Did you go out today?
No. Been at work all day.
Didn't want to run in the rain.
No. I don't run in the rain.
No, don't blame me.
No.
He's a treadmill.
But it's good though. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We went along. It was tough. I don't know how people do 10Ks. I don't know how people do like half marathons.
But it's easier because you do it slower. And I don't mean easier. I mean, it's offset. It's like, I find running a quick 5K a lot harder than running a 10K.
Do you?
Yeah, much harder. Because it's all like aerobic stuff. So you're constantly like, when I did that 5K the whole way, I was like, if I'm running a 10K, I can chat.
Yeah, I get that. Just seems quite long, isn't it, a 10K. Yeah. But yeah, so thank you for that. It was good fun. So yeah, that's the end of the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. If you have, give us a rating.
If you haven't, don't let us know. Don't care.
We're going to be back next week previewing all things Canada. Hopefully we'll have a bit of more news on Ocon. And yeah, hope have a good week. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.